Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
What's it like being an identical twin? And does it affect your individuality? 1800 453 106 is the number. I'd love to talk to people about this today. Freelance writer and author Lara Rodwell is with us here on Lunchtime Live. Lara, does it affect your own sense of identity?
Yes, for sure. It affects it a lot, especially when you're younger, especially during like puberty, when you're kind of figuring out who you are and what you stand for, as it did with me and my sister.
Tell us a little bit about your twin. You've an identical twin, Lara.
Yeah, so we're identical. We're also mirror twins, which means that I'm left-handed, she's right-handed. Our hair partings are opposite, etc. Katie was diagnosed with an eating disorder, anorexia, at 13. And it kind of transpired from being an identical twin and wanting to look different, wanting to be the smaller twin and form that sense of identity, which affected me a lot as I was a teenager and a young adult as well. So, that's a bit about Katie, but she's recovered now. She actually recovered. It was kind of triggered by my dad dying 3 years ago. And it was a kind of bout of post-traumatic growth, I think. And she kind of looked up to me and wanted to kind of live her best life again, kind of for him. And now we're closer than ever. So, yeah, that's a bit about Katie.
Is it difficult in the younger years, Lara, when, you know, I suppose people are so past remarkable and whether it's just random members of the public that you don't know or extended family who feel the need to pass comment, you know, on you as a child and your sister as a kid as well. Is that hard?
Yeah, it's really hard. I think it's hard for parents as well because, I mean, having two identical twins, you're kind of told from a very young age that you're so cute and you're kind of treated like a little two little rag dolls. And it's difficult for parents, the parent twins as well. And at school, you kind of get treated as just like one person and you're called the twins and you don't really have your identity, which can be really tricky when you're trying to figure out who you are and you kind of internalize these comments. And especially for me, when Katie was ill, I just got some really insensitive comments about my size in particular, and as a young woman as well. It's extremely difficult in the Western kind of diet culture world. But fortunately now, you know, being 25, turning 26, I've kind of learned to brush those comments off. And I think that's why spreading awareness is so important, because people don't really think twice about making insensitive comments.
What are the comments or what are the things that people say, Lara?
For example, me and Katie, we went travelling in India and we often got comments like, why are you fat? Why is she thin? We would go to parties together and males in particular would kind of say they were more attracted to Katie because she was the smaller twin. Things like that. Which isn't very nice for anybody to hear, but also identical twins, the kind of two running themes is comparison and competitiveness. So it did kind of create this divide between me and my sister, and I resented her for, you know, wanting to be the quote-unquote better, more attractive twin.
So it really affects your own relationship with your twin as well then?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mentioned it in the article, but we came to have hated each other for 10 years, which we don't now. I think there's that saying, isn't there, you can't love someone unless you can't hate somebody unless you love them. And our love was kind of so strong that we mistook it for hating each other, but that was never the case. Yeah, it really affected our relationship, but it's also made it even stronger now because of what we've been through.
087-1400-106 is the number if you want to get in touch with us. Laura, will you stay with us on the line? Because I've got David with us too. David Blevins is the Senior Ireland correspondent with Sky News. And David, you know, we usually chat, I suppose, about the news stories, the breaking news stories that happen. But aside from all of that, you're also an identical twin.
That's right. I have an identical twin brother. His name is Stephen, and he is a primary school principal. And so we've embarked upon different courses.
Yeah.
Journalism, him education. And actually, it was the other way around. Growing up in school, I thought I would be the teacher, and he had aspirations to become a sports journalist. So I don't know how we ended up doing
yeah.
the job.
Where did you get it so wrong?
I don't know. He obviously got the best deal because he gets 2 months off every summer on his holidays, obviously.
Well, you get, I suppose, a front row seat on some of the biggest stories that happen in the north. But bring us back, though, when you talk about those early childhood days, David, for yourself and Stephen. What was it like growing up as an identical twin?
You know, it's not something you particularly think about. You're not really conscious of the fact that there's something different about you. But when you look back on it with hindsight, you feel privileged the fact that you had someone else to grow up alongside. And I've heard people talk about their twin as the other half of them. And I think when I look back on it, it did feel a bit like that. But it's not something we were overly conscious of at the time. We had, different interests. And yet we were really, really close. And we remain close to this day. We talk almost every day. If he's got any problem in his life, he talks to me and vice versa. And there are so many times in life when our paths cross and we find ourselves doing similar things at similar times, but in very different places. So there is definitely a unique bond between us.
Yeah. You always hear people say that, the exceptional bond and that kind of strong connection that exists. Like, how did you, in the early days or in your younger years, were you aware of that then, David?
I think we had some awareness of it because if Stephen was upset, I would be upset. If Stephen was very happy about something, I would share in that sense of celebration and vice versa again. So I think we did have some awareness of the bond. We didn't dwell on it a lot. And I suppose it's a bit like, I often say about my own children when they're growing up, people will say to me, what was it like for them having their dad on television every night of the week?
Mm.
They didn't really think about it. It's like almost in their young minds, everybody's dad was on television every
yeah.
night of the week. And it was a wee bit like that. You didn't think about it at the time. It's only afterwards you become aware of it more. But we have so many experiences of what they describe as twin telepathy, that there's absolutely no question about there being some kind of unique bond between us.
But does it damage your sense, though, of individual identity?
Again, I've heard some people suggest that. That has not been my lived experience. Stephen and I had very different interests. I was very into music growing up. He was very into sport growing up. He pursued a career in education. I pursued a career in journalism. Our wives look nothing alike. They're very, very different. So we are very clearly different people, and yet we have identical DNA, which is fascinating in itself. Mm. But I suppose that's the best way to answer that question.
Yeah, it's funny. I often, isn't that always the question, I suppose, you get asked in the pub? You know, people probably ask you about when you're growing up and meeting people and dating and, you know, whether you tend to go for or match with the same kind of people.
Well, really, our wives could not look more different. Stephen's married to a tall girl. I'm married to a girl who's quite short. And yet, we do this strange thing on a regular basis where I walk into his house, at Christmas or after a birthday or whatever, and I discover that he has bought for his wife exactly the same card that I bought.
No
my wife
way.
Did, we weren't shopping together. That happens to us all the time. Or we discover that we've booked to go to, we've turned up at the same restaurant for dinner without it having been planned. We do that kind of thing all the time. And Stephen jokes a lot about the fact that when we go to family gatherings, at times he considers calling me beforehand to see what I'm wearing. Because 9 times out of 10, we turn up wearing the same colour. And that's totally unintentional.
Yeah. But did it bother you, though, does it bother you at any stage, and particularly when you're younger? You know, because you often hear people say to parents, how do you tell them apart, or how do you know which one is which? Like, that's got to be infuriating as a kid.
Well, you know what? My mother has just sold her house, and so she's packing up to move. And she was with us the other day with a handful of photographs because she's trying to sort out old photographs. And when I looked at them, there were some of those photographs I couldn't even identify myself in, but my mother could always identify us. Don't ask me how, because we're the youngest of five children. My mother said she stopped having children when they started coming in twos. But she's always been able to identify us. Even our primary school teachers couldn't, of course. We were in the same class through primary school, and teachers used to ask my mother to embroider our initial onto our jumper so that they would know which child it is they were talking to.
That's fantastic. So in the main, looking back, it's been a positive experience. Not something you can do much about, I suppose, but it's been a positive experience, David.
A positive experience, a unique experience, and certainly we have some stories to tell about times we were apart but experiencing similar things. I think the best version of the best example of that was when I was on a school trip to France when I would have been year 10 in school, as they describe it now. We used to call it third year. And I was elsewhere in Europe, and I called home the next day. There were no mobiles in those days, so you got a call home about once every 3 days. And Mum said, "Well, how are you getting on?" And I said, "I'm having a great trip, but I was up all night with terrible pain in my stomach." And she said, "Well, that's really interesting, because your twin brother had his appendix removed at midnight." So we've had so many, I could tell you so many stories like that, that are a bit sort of make the hair stand on on the back of your neck, but stand on end on the back of your neck. But I think it's a story of companionship and friendship and having someone else there with you the whole way through.
Lovely.
I tell people all the time, I know Stephen since before he was born.
Jay is with us on the line as well. Jay, you've an identical brother. Has it been a positive or a negative?
Well, I am actually here in Phoenix Park, and my brother's with me. We're working on a work project. And I think that sort of kind of is a story of our life. I think for the most part, we have worked closely together, and in many, many occasions, he's been able to fill in for me and things like that, especially in work situations. But I think it has been a positive experience. Well, I think it's been the only experience I've had, and I think it has been a good experience. As you were trying to address earlier, is there a sense of individuality that's taken away? And I think for me, to summarize that, I would say yes, but in a particular stage of your life. I think there's a time in our lives, if I had to put a number on it, I would say probably from, let's say, 13, 14 up until early 20s. I do think twins share a reputation, especially if they look alike. And I think we somewhat look alike. Some people think we look exactly the same. Some people don't see it at all. But we do have the same voice. So if he was on here, or I was here, it'd be the same person.
Yeah. And just from the point that Lara made as well a little earlier, is it hard to not compare yourself to your identical twin?
Well, I think in my experience, there's no such thing. I think we're very much our own people. And I think what happened is you do share a reputation. So if one twin is trying to do well, for example, in my case, when we were when we first came to this country, we were homeless for about a year, and then we sort of got out of that, and we worked together towards it, and we were great sort of companionship on it. He was the only person I could trust during that time. Then once we got out of there, I was trying to work really hard, and I think maybe there's been a phase where he hasn't. And I think if one person does something a little bit silly, it reflects on both people. But I think it took a while before we developed our own individuals sort of in our sphere of people we know. But once you do that, once you establish your own, I suppose, image and your own identity, then those worries are gone. But I think it's something that you can be conscious about and work on it consciously, or maybe you can fall a victim to it. But I think we've gone through that, and now we're our own people, and there's nobody that can...
Very interesting.
That's no longer the case.
Thank you for getting in touch with us, Jay, as well, and sharing your experience. David Blevins there from Sky News, and freelance writer and author Lara Rodwell as well.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron on News Talk.